It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Hello, welcome to the program. Thanks for being with us. I've got an interesting show for you lined up today. I hope you agree as you listen, but first let's get to
the fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
We need to change that to the infamous Scott Connor. Can you fix that, Lisa?
Can we change it to the fastest 2 minutes?
We'll have to come up with something that rhymes. So come up with something that rhymes with 2 minutes.
All right.
But otherwise, you got to do a whole five.
All right, I'll work
on it. People want to know, Scott, what's going on with the market?
Tuesday's market was a decent market.
It started
off, started off pretty hot, but sold off a little bit towards the end. The Dow closed up 65 points at 13,279. NASDAQ up 4 points. Apple was about flat. So the NASDAQ about flat.
So if Apple's quiet, then the NASDAQ's quiet.
It definitely has been that way.
And what'd you tell me? It's about 13%
of the... About 13%, yeah.
Okay.
Because it's market cap weighted, so it's... It's a big impact there. S&P up 8 points at 1405, so we're a little above that 1400 level that we like to see. Gold basically flat, down two at 1662. Oil up today, $1.15, 106.
That's because there was something going on.
Yeah.
There was a report, though. There's some military moves going on, and Iran said, hey, if you do that, that's not going to help.
Yeah, so that's a little bit of risk premium there.
Yep.
Tens at 194, off a little bit today. Fair amount of money coming into tens for the day. With it being May Day, a lot of European markets closed. A lot of European traders had the day off, so the news flow out of Europe was pretty slow, which I think helps our markets, the domestic markets overall. We're still heavy into earnings season, so a lot of corporate news. And Tuesday's trade, Pfizer beat earnings expectations pretty heavily, so a good number from them. Earlier the month, you may remember Pfizer agreed to sell their baby formula to Nestle, so they have that inflow coming in of almost $12 billion in just mostly in cash, so that'll be a nice hit for them. On the other side of the coin, BP reported a pretty big decline in earnings. A lot of it was because they had to sell off a lot of their assets to pay for the oil spill. And so now they're feeling the pain in their revenue numbers because they just don't have the same number of fields that they had. So a little bit of problematic reporting there for BP. But overall, of the S&P 500 companies, we've had a little over 300 of them report, and about 71% have topped expectations. So that's a really, really, really solid number.
Yeah, you like that. That's good news.
Yeah, earnings growth has been about 7% year over year, so we like that too. I'd like to see more of it on the top line, more of it as revenue growth.
We are starting to see some of that, though, aren't we? Are we seeing that in the manufacturing area particularly?
Yeah, we had a decent manufacturing number that came out on Tuesday. It was the ISM. It's a diffusion index. It rose to 54.8 from 50. Expectation was 53. I beat you.
We have a joke here, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know about it. If Scott says the word diffusion and loses 95% of you, we hit the bull sound.
The Institute for Supply Managers said basically that manufacturing activity was significantly stronger than they had expected. So that's really what got the market moving north there. Also, a lot of news for Fed watchers on Tuesday. The Fed, for some reason, Fed presidents are out there in droves, and they are a chatty bunch.
Big Ben can't keep them under control.
Well, I think it's all pretty orchestrated. I think it's all pretty heavily orchestrated. Okay. Yeah. So basically what they're saying is that they have the capacity to do a lot more QE if they decide to, but they're really not going to do that as long as unemployment numbers continue to come down, inflation stays tame. So I think they're basically trying to tell the market, listen, unless things really get off track, there's not going to be another round of QE.
We've got the capacity. We've got it. We've got the gun. We're just not planning on using it.
Yeah, we're really not planning on using it unless things really start to get
That's reassuring, though.
Off the rails. I think so. I mean, I think it's a little bit counterintuitive that the market has a tendency to respond well to bad news because they think more QE is coming. That's a trader mentality and not an investor
mentality. It's an addiction to the easy money.
Yeah. So speaking of unemployment, the remainder of this week really will be focused on jobs numbers. Starting on Wednesday, we get the ADP employment number that reflects new jobs created in the private sector. Thursday, we have the weekly new benefits claims report.
Any expectations?
Well, the big number that we're looking for is Friday. All the expectations are on Friday, which is the unemployment headline rate from April. It was 8.2 last month. Most analysts are expecting 8.3, so a little tick up there. Mm. A lot of that is because that Thursday number that we've been seeing that, you know, is up, but it's down because of the revision, all that nonsense. But the initial jobless claims numbers have not been very good.
Well, we need that to get better.
Yeah, jobs, if we can just create 400,000 jobs a month instead of 150,000 jobs a month, all the problems are solved.
All right. Well, there you go. You hear that, Washington? There it is.
That's what I think.
That's it. That's all they got to do. All right, Scott. Is that all you want to do for today?
That's
it. I know what you're itching. You're itching to get in there and get your... You've already got your sleeves rolled up.
Yeah.
And you want to get in there and get your hands into the portfolios.
Yeah.
All right. Your wish is granted. Go to it. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm excited. I'm excited about a lot of my guests, but this is a great opportunity. We're going to be joining the studio with Carl Persis. Carl, say hi.
Hello.
There he is. Carl is here with me, and Carl is, he's doing a lot of stuff. And so we're going to talk about what Carl is doing, what Volusia County is doing, what lies in Volusia County's future. We're not going to talk all about money today. We're going to talk about the stuff that affects you on a real world basis. So stick around and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
And we're back, and I'm excited. I have Carl Persis, the Carl Persis, in the studio with me now. Let me give you the disclaimer, ladies and gentlemen. I know Carl. Well, I know him a couple ways. One, he is a neighbor, lives in the same subdivision I do, which is really cool. I drive by, wave, and Carl's out there already getting his yard looking great. Makes me feel bad about how mine looks. And then, have you retired yet from Orman? Okay, so he's shaking his head, a reluctant yes.
Yes.
He retired from Orman Beach Middle and it used to be Orman Beach Junior. Yeah. Those of us that are old enough to remember that. And so I knew you in that way because my sister-in-law teaches at Orman Middle, Sandra Murray, and I'm sure she'll be pleased that I've said that on the radio.
Amazing teacher.
Yeah, good teacher. Even better sister-in-law, believe that?
Better
How's
sister-in-law.
That? That'll get me a few points.
Good.
All right.
Yes.
So I asked Carl to come on because I know that there's a lot going on at the county and we've got a lot of things happening and you are doing some special things now that you've kind of hopefully or maybe permanently or maybe not permanently closed one chapter.
Yeah.
You're ready to step up and you're running for Volusia County chair.
Yeah, Dave, that's the plan. That's always been my plan. I retired November 30th.
Okay.
35 years of service with Volusia County Schools, 28 serving as a principal, which I just love. I mean, I just loved being a principal. My wife is a principal still. She's the principal over at Pine Trail Elementary School in Orman Beach. So I'm still kind of involved with the school system through my wife, which is cool because it's hard just to walk away after 35 years. But yeah, I retired on November 30th, and my whole plan, and when I decided to retire, you know, I got into DROP, and that's a five-year program. And so when you enter DROP, you really are retired then. And then you can serve those 5 years after, or you can retire anytime during those five. But you can't change your mind. And
yeah, it's irrevocable,
it's a big decision. So sit there and you're shaking as you're signing that paper.
That's interesting,
because
you kind of made that decision 5 years ago. So you knew then that we get to the end of this, then I better have plan.
I got to have a plan B here. Okay. What is my next venture? And so if I back up just a little bit, I guess it was 1995. I was principal at Tomoka Elementary School in Ormond Beach, and some people came up to me and said, "Hey, you know, you ever think about getting in the politics, running for the city?"
Nobody ever does that to me, Carl.
I bet they do, Dave. They do. And so I said, "Yeah, I can do that." And so I ended up running for the city commissioner seat back then, and I was fortunate enough to win very, very close election then. And anyway, so I won that, and it was a four-year term, ended in 99. People said, "Well, you know, Dave Hood isn't gonna run for mayor. Why don't you step up and run for mayor?" And I thought, "Yeah, I can do that." And so I did, and I was
little old Ormond Beach as a kingmaker.
So
we didn't know it.
Little old happy Ormond Beach, and there I was, and all of a sudden I'm mayor. Like, how did this happen? You know.
So what was that like?
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah. I loved it. You know, being a principal, you're sort of a cheerleader for your school. You're a real advocate for the children. You're helping the teachers. You're helping the parents of the kids. You're helping the kids, the grandparents. And so I kind of liked that sort of role. And becoming mayor, I was just like a big cheerleader for the city, and sort of an ambassador, if you will, too. So. Yeah, attended a lot of ribbon cuttings and presided over the meetings.
If we could convince my wife that being mayor is not a lot of work, then I might have a shot.
Perhaps you'd want to do that. A lot of appearances, though. I will say that. So then that was 1999. I ran again, and I was successful. And then I decided to run for the county council in 2004. That was a pretty tough race. There were four people in it, but I was fortunate enough to win. And that was a four-year term, and then I ran again in 2008. No one ran against me in 2008.
That's a good sign.
That's the toughest campaign. No, that was great.
You just need to keep your mouth closed on that one, right?
But here, the whole deal was getting back to when I decided to retire. See, that was all kind of my plan, and I knew, well, if I retired at the end of 2011. Then I would have the time to run for the county chair seat in 2012. All right. So that was always my dream. That was always my plan. And so
I thought
now
I was a good
implementing
planner,
the plan.
I thought I was a good planner, but boy, that's good. You got to plan this stuff ahead. This stuff doesn't just happen on a whim.
Well, sometimes it does, I suspect. But this is a pretty big challenge here. And
I'm sure you're up for it. We're going to come back from a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Carl Persis a little bit more about the thing that I would like to know more about, and I'm sure our listeners do, is, okay, you're running for this position. You're already on the council. What do you guys do? What's going on? What are some of the issues we face? And tell us what we can do to help. So stick around, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
We're back and visiting in my studio here in our illustrious Holland Financial Center in Ormond Beach is one, let me get the official title. You know this was coming, Carl, okay? One of the powerless members for 2012 in the East Central Floridian View, and that's a local publication. You made the list, and you're number 17, and this is your first appearance. Talk about and there's 35 of the local leaders that are very influential in how our our area is affected. So
I love that. I love that caricature of me.
See,
there,
I thought it was an actual real sketch. I didn't know that was a. it's good.
I think my chin could be a little more pointed. I don't know.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Look a little bit like Mitt Romney in that picture.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah. Yeah, a little.
Yeah.
All right, Carl. So tell us what goes on at the county government in terms of
isn't
your
that
council.
Amazing? Like, what do you do all day? Why are those meetings so long anyway? What can you possibly talk about?
You have meetings so we don't have to.
Oh,
right?
From 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. at night.
I've seen the courier going by it. Like, it's like midnight.
It's just crazy. What an agenda. Well, listen, county government, we talked about the Ormond Beach city government for a while, and that's big. I mean, every city has its challenges and things. But then when you think about county government, you know, it impacts so many folks because there's almost 500,000 people that live in our county, and the county government is responsible for the health department. It's responsible for the county jail, criminal justice system, you know, the public defender's office, all the judges, all the bailiffs that you see, all that processing, the airport, the beach, the landfill that everyone needs to dump into, and just so many roads, you know, so many roads in the county are, in fact, county-maintained roads. Those are just some of the things that we operate. And, of course, library system is ours too, and we intermingle, of course, with the 16 cities. We do a lot
How's
of cooperation.
That? What's that like, coordinating with them?
Well, it is. It's
a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. We're in the middle of one right now. Well, sort of at not the middle, in the tail end with the city of Deltona, and the unincorporated area of Osteen. We worked with Deltona hand in hand for a couple of years, trying to develop a joint planning agreement to predict where future growth should go out there and how it should look. And then trying to find, Dave, one of the things about it is when you work with the cities and the people in unincorporated areas, trying to find those places where you can compromise, you know, because you have a place like Osteen, rural character, they moved out there because that's what they like. And the city of Deltona is looking for commercial to help balance out all that a residential. They see State Road 415 as that's where it's going to happen. And Osteen's going, no, no, no. And Deltona's going, yes, yes, yes. And so they come to the county and, you know, how are we going to work this out? So we have a plan. We jointly agreed on the plan. But you know what as well as you can plan, 2 years after the plan, another group will come in and say, well, wait a minute, I don't know if I like that plan.
The truth is, a lot of plans are carved in jello.
They are moving, aren't they? They're moving, moving, moving. So, but that's just one example. You asked how we work with cities.
Well, what the thing that kind of I think about is how much, and maybe this is the wrong way to put it, but how much power, how much control is there at the county council, the county government, to effectuate or maybe create some of these compromises or to oversee the things it's got?
Yeah, well, we actually have a great deal of influence. I don't like to use the word power so much, but we have a great deal of influence. And there are over 100,000 people in our county that live in unincorporated areas. So we are their government totally.
Okay.
And so as they are sort of embedded, if you will, in and around cities, there's a lot of times when they come to us and say, we don't like the way this city's doing this, and we like the way the county's doing it, or the other way around. Can't you guys work something out? So we find ourselves a lot as mediators, yeah. I guess.
You're a peacekeeping force.
Come on. As I always say to the cities, we are not your enemies. We're your allies here. So I really do believe that. Maybe it's because I have a city government background.
Right. You can relate to that.
But I believe that if we make our cities better, then we make our county better.
That makes sense to me. All right. Well, we're going to take another quick break. We'll come right back with Carl Persis, and we're just talking about the realities of county government, and we'll come back with a little bit more specifics after the break. Stay tuned.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
We're back, and I'm joined in the studio here with Carl Persis, and we're just talking on the break. I said, Carl, we come back, tell our listeners, what are some of the big things you're working on, and what is our county government doing for us, and what are some of the things you're tackling or some of the challenges?
Yeah, well, we're very, very proud to say there this last year, we did two major things. We really took over the EVAC system. As you know, before that, it was a private company, and it was a private company, however, that we had to always subsidize. Started out sometimes $1 million a year, $2 million, and it was $3 million, $3.5 million. So the subsidy is because of a lot of different reasons, but basically your typical ambulance call is around $700 to $800. The Medicaid doesn't maybe pay for all of that. People's insurance, they don't pay for all of that. So there's a lot of unclaimed bills. I mean, that's what it is. And there are bills. And so we have to have that service. That's another county responsibility. And so finally, it just got to the point that we said, you know, why don't we try to run this thing? Rather than subsidize it, maybe we could run it more efficiently. And so this is our first year taking over. And the other thing that we did was we have had a splintered dispatch system. So when you call 911, it was going out, depending on where you lived in the county, that was being relayed through different towers and dispatch personnel. And we said, you know, the sheriff always told us we have got to get a consolidated system under one roof here and make this thing work. It'll get better. So we did that. And that was with a lot of gnashing of teeth and pulling of hair. But we are there now.
I can imagine. But, you know, I was thinking of the obvious thing is cell phones. You know, I mean, good grief. Yeah. Where are you? Where am I now?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Hold on. We'll get a dispatcher for you.
Yeah, you know.
So that makes a lot of sense.
You know, and it's funny that you said that now because of cell phones. Let's say there's an accident on I-95 and you drive by in your car and you see it and you have your cell phone. Well, you think, oh, my God, I better call that in. So you do your 911 thing. Well, so did the car just in front of you, and so did the car behind you, and the stream of cars that are passing that accident, because unless you saw a police car there,
you wouldn't
you're
know.
Thinking, no one's called this in yet. I could be the first person seeing this, and I'm going to do the right thing, and it is the right thing, but what we're learning now is dispatch is getting like hundreds of those kinds of calls, and it's tying up the whole system.
So one coming in through a centralized dispatch and say, yeah, we know.
We got it. You know. So anyway, so that's just one of the things. And it's kind of like it's some of the protocols that the dispatch operators have to now understand because of cell phones. But we'd rather have too many people calling it in than no one calling it in. So in a way, that's not all bad. So yeah, so we have the EVAC under our roof now, and we have consolidated dispatch. And now the next thing that people are talking about, and the Civic League did a study on, was how can we make fire services more efficient for everyone, and you know, save some money for the taxpayers.
Is it some of the same issue with the centralization?
Yeah, it'll be a same issue, but it's a much tougher one. Because most cities are pretty proud of their fire department. They like that logo on the side of the truck, and the fire unions and the fire personnel, a lot of them have been working for that city for a long time. And so that's a little bit harder to say, well, how would we do that without you know, losing my city's identity or my own identity? Do I lose in rank? You know, there's lots of issues there. Not that they can't be worked out. And it may be, David, that we don't try to, you know, eat the elephant all at once. Maybe we just take a bite, and maybe some regional mergering we could do.
Well, it sounds like actually the perfect job for somebody who's good at compromise.
Yeah. Well, thanks. That's what I hear. I hear that a lot. Carl, you can facilitate that. You can make that happen. Well, I mean, that's what it is going to take. It is going to take a lot of give and take. And that's how you
move
forward.
Maybe they can just have the fire trucks just have look like NASCAR, just have all of the city logos on them, right?
Put them all on there. Something for everybody.
Well, we need to take one quick break. We come back. We're talking with Carl Persis, who is on the Volusia County Council and who is running for county chairman. And we'll be right back.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
All right, we're back. And okay, Carl, you are running for county chair.
County chair.
And so I need to let our listeners know, if they want more information, carlpersis.com.
Pretty easy.
Pretty simple.
Yeah.
All right, well, speaking of things that are easy, the beach?
The beach.
Easy?
It's not easy. You had to go to the beach. Yeah, the beach. I love the beach, too. You know, I've lived here for 55 years, you know, so I grew up on this beach. And, of course, the beach is a lot different now than it used to be. And, of course, today we're starting turtle season. When I was around, we never thought about the turtles, but I guess that they were always there. But anyway, everybody now on A1A, you know, you need to turn your lights off during the next six months, whatever it is. But the beach is our greatest asset. It is just amazing, and yet it is our biggest challenge, too.
I read on the website, 40-some miles, 47 miles.
It's just...
That's a lot of beach.
A lot of beach, of which about, I think we still have around 17 miles or so that you can drive on. That's becoming less and less, it seems.
Well, it just seems like every time we turn around, there's another problem related to the driving.
Yeah. And we
know people like that, but
I know. But I just wonder how long we will be driving on the beach. We implement every year, seems like these last few years,
safety measures.
We're trying some more this season. So far, we haven't had any accidents.
Wonderful.
Let's hope that continues. Everyone just needs to be careful, of course, as they drive on a beach. But we are actively looking for oceanfront property to enable us to have more off-beach parking so that we can get more cars off of the beach.
Well, now's the time to buy, Carl.
Now's because they say the price is low, right?
The price is good.
So we're out there trying to find some real good values now so we can get some more cars off of the beach. We'll still have beach driving, but I still...
But you can get the sheer volume off, right?
Yeah, we just need to be looking forward and understand that eventually we may not have it. Dave, let's face it, one big lawsuit and it could be
well
over.
You know, the blunt way of putting it, I imagine there are folks out there that say, well, how many people have to get hurt for us to say no more?
I know. So what we're trying to do is to just say, okay, you know, it's not just the driving on the beach, but we use our beach as a parking lot.
Well, that's the big issue.
That is the issue. So we got to say, well, where are we going to? We park around 6,000 cars. So
I was going to ask you what percentage is. You know what percentage it is? It is actual parking versus just cruising?
I don't, but okay. I do know we usually say we have around 6,000 parking spaces, and we have about 17 miles of beach where people can actually drive. But I tell you what, those off-beach parking sites, they are full. They are full. People like parking off the beach and just walking down, and those no driving areas of the beach
popular.
Are very popular.
Well, we are full now, Carl. We're out of time.
Oh, I know. I hate when that happens.
I know. We'll have you come back. And I've had Carl Persis in the studio here running for Volusia County Chairman, And we're excited to have you. Thank you very much, Carl.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure. I look forward to being the next Volusia County Chair.
All right. We're going to look forward to that. And thanks for being with us today, ladies and gentlemen.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 ton, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.